You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome back to another installment of Battle Red Radio. I'm your host, Colt Molesky, and I am joined by my co-host, Corey DLG. Corey, we are getting ready for the Cleveland Browns coming to Houston. We got all the Deshaun Watson stuff out of the way earlier this week. Now we're going to be looking at the X's and O's. I got to be honest with you, off the top, not super pumped about hosting Nick Chubb.
No, it's not a good matchup for us. He's a top 10 running back in the league, top 15 running back in the league. I suspect he's going to put some serious yardage on the board this weekend. Yeah.
I would agree with you as well. We're going to get into all the X's and O's here in a minute. We're also going to make our picks. But before we get to all of that, let's get to some news. Going and perusing the injury report today. We have some first-rounders not in practice. Left guard Kenyon Green, cornerback Derek Stingley Jr. It looks like the Texans are going to be going missing some key stars. You had Rex Burkhead also. He's not a rookie, but he was out with a concussion. You had Brandon Cooks and Christian Harris limited in practice. They're going to be going into this game banged up, and they're already thin at pretty much every position. If you could get one player back, is it Derek Stingley or is it help on the offensive line?
It's Warren Moon. If I could just bring one player back to the Houston Texans to help with this, or Arian Foster maybe, and just have Arian
one
Foster
player
and Damian
to return
Pierce.
To formal glory.
Yeah. Is that what you meant? Like, if you could have
I'd
a meal with anyone,
Johnson,
living or dead.
Scenario.
No, because, I mean, he can't hike it to himself, to quote Giselle.
He can't, but I feel like that would be like, just throw it up to him. Just launch it to him.
No,
down there somewhere.
I think Hopkins was a little bit better at the just throw it in the air guy. I'll say this though. Hey, what was the injury report on Brandon Cooks? Did it just say comma quitter?
no, it said calf. It was a calf.
Oh, okay. He strained his calf muscle complaining to the radio stations. Okay.
Potentially. I don't know calf injury was from. It just said calf.
Did his calf go out carrying the weight of knowing he didn't care anymore as he walked out of the locker room?
Potentially.
What was the
potentially.
Injury? I mean, no, if you could have any one of these guys back, I think the one that's most important is probably Kenyon Green, but only if he's healthy. And I'm glad if he's hurt that they're going to at least let him sit out the game and just tell people, look, he's hurt. That's why he hasn't been playing well the last 2 weeks. He's been trying to play through an injury. And we're getting embarrassed anyway, so let's just sit him down and let the backup go out there and embarrass himself.
Well, it says illness for Green, so I don't know. That's like one of those, when you're sick, it's one of those kind of gray areas where you're not sure if it's going to be a 24-hour thing or if he's going to be gone for the next 4 days.
Who are these grown-up NFL athletes getting sick? I thought I get sick. Like, fat, lazy people get sick. What are these athletes doing getting, like... I thought the point of being in shape and being fit and being all that stuff is that you don't get sick anymore. Am I wrong? Is this how the other half lives?
Maybe with some bad fish.
If that dude is eating salmon, that's his own problem. I don't understand people who eat fish. I've never eaten fish in my life, except for like fried catfish or shrimp.
You don't like a good piece of salmon?
No. What did I win sort of elitist Olympics? No, I'm not eating salmon. What is that?
It's not elitist. You can find good prices on salmon. It's just good protein, nice lean protein, good fats in there.
Oh, yeah? Thank you, personal trainer Colton. I will make a note of that as I go to get my 30 reps in as I listen to a Katy Perry song.
You put that in a sauce with a little soy sauce and garlic and honey. Mm-mm-mm. Sear it up
Why
in a pan.
Why do I hate you more as you finish this sentence? I don't know what's happening. It's just I've turned against you on principle alone. I don't even.
You know what? We'll put a fork in this and maybe finish this at a later time. I gotta be honest with you. I understand protecting whatever quarterback is back there for the Texans and adding more protection. I kind of think they need Derek Stingley Jr. in this game more, though. I'm terrified of Deshaun Watson's arm and the possibility of play-action passes opening up huge gains for guys like Peoples-Jones or David Njoku. I just feel like those guys are going to be running free 20 yards down the field if they're having to kind of piecemeal this together in the secondary.
I need to see Deshaun Watson actually make a couple throws before I'm going to be worried about where he throws. I personally suspect it's going to take him a couple games to get back to any kind of form or rhythm. It's been 2 years. And he's getting like 1 week of practice before this game. So not to say that I think our defense is going to go out there and pitch any kind of impressive performance. However, I just feel like I want to see Deshaun Watson actually do something again before I start writing down, like, what am I afraid of from his game? I need to know if he's still fast. I need to know if he still has the clock in his head when he's in the pocket. I need to know if he's still making reads and knows the plays. You know what I mean? So I'm more concerned about keeping the quarterback upright.
Well, that's my thing, though, is that that's my thing, though, is I'm not worried about him dotting to guys 20 yards down the field when they're heavily covered, or him making some tight conversions on third and eight. I'm worried about giving him a ton of opportunities for the really easy throws when you're bootlegging out, so you don't have to feel the pressure. You're just running away from the pressure automatically, and you're making throws to wide open guys. We've seen this zone really give some wide open options to quarterbacks. When you're throwing to wide open guys and it's easy pitch and catch stuff, and it's coming off of play action, so the reads are easier. This guy's been throwing a football since he was in sixth grade earlier. And so I think it's not the Deshaun Watson stuff that we're used to seeing that I'm worried about. It's making it easy for him to get those easy completions that get a quarterback warmed up. That's what I'm a little worried about. Not to say that if Stingley is in this game, he's not going to get that against that Texans defense. But I think you just really need everybody here to try and make it as tough on him as possible. Because making those easy options available, that's what they have to avoid if he's going to come into this game
rusty.
I'm
of the belief that the more open a guy is, the harder that throw is mentally. Also, I feel like he'll be if he bootlegs left and there's nobody around, I kind of feel like he's going to be more inclined to just run it out there in the first few weeks until he feels a little more comfortable making throws. Because throwing on the run, even though that is something that's really natural to his game, is probably still going to be something that there's going to just be a sense of like cobweb and like, can I do, you know, like, you're coming back from an injury or something, the first few weeks you're like, oh, I just want to get hit and just really feel it again. Quarterbacks probably go through that same thing. I don't know. I've never been one, but I would assume they go through that same mentality of like, oh, I just need to get a few throws out. So I don't know. I don't disagree completely. I mean, honestly, we need all the help we can get. Like, if we could wave a wand and put everyone back on the field except Brandon Cooks, then I would do it. We need all the help we can get, but the truth is, you know, we haven't done a very good job of keeping people upright, and I do believe they're going to be running Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney at us, so that's going to be a problem.
No, you're absolutely right, and I wanted to get into some of the stats here, but before we do that, the other piece of news is that Blake Cashman did sign an extension, a year extension with a year-long extension with the Texans. Did you have any immediate thoughts on this?
No. I mean, no. I think there's going to be people who, you know, we need some kind of continuity going forward. We need to start kind of laying out who's going to be here next year. So I don't know. No, I mean, we, wrong or right, we've got to start saying who's going to be here next year, because we can't make all the changes at once, right? So, you know, that's a little too complicated for even a well-run franchise. And it's funny because on the radio, on the sports talk, like, you hear them waffling between Nick Caserio's good at his job and Nick Caserio's bad at his job. You hear him waffling between Lovie Smith knows what he's doing and doesn't know what he's doing. No, I don't know. I think it makes sense. We have to at least start laying out a plan of continuity of what next year, what is the goal next year, what are we going to look like next year, what are we going for next year.
I mean, the defensive snap percentage for him the last few weeks, before the Miami game, 9%, 7%, 9%, 9%, 5%, 7%. Last week against Miami, 42%. I feel like they're probably going to end up playing him a decent amount the next couple of weeks. So we're going to get a better idea of what he actually looks like as a player.
Yeah, and again, and I don't know that any of the details on it. We have plenty of cap space. We've got plenty of room. And most contracts that people are signing, you know, the teams have options of getting out of paying them most of the money. So, you know, unless he somehow warranted some great guaranteed number, like, it's not a huge loss to go out there and let him play the rest of this season at a high snap count, knowing that if he performs well, he's got a place here next season. I think most of these guys are playing under that assumption. He just happens to have it in writing now.
Yeah, I'm looking up his new contract stuff. I had his stats pulled up. I'm not seeing any numbers in this, but yeah, it's just the 1 year extension off his rookie contract. So yeah, it's not gonna be a cap hit or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, at most we're talking about the rookie. I think right now the rookie scale, I think it's between $300,000 and $400,000 your first year. So your second year is maybe between $400,000 and $500,000. Okay. All right. You know, I mean, if he was any good, we were going to want to see him back next year anyway.
All very fair. Very fair. All right. Let's get into some stats here. For the Texans taking on the Browns, hosting the Browns in Houston, a few things that stuck out to me. I don't want to beat this too much to death because we have talked about this over and over and over again, but it does bear repeating that this is going to be a tough game because the Cleveland Browns rank third in the NFL in yards on the ground at 1698, and they're second in the league in rushing touchdowns with 18 rushing touchdowns, only behind the Eagles. So that is where they're clearly going to want to go early and often, and that's definitely where they want to go in the red zone as well. Both tough statistics for the Texans defense. One interesting thing, the Cleveland Browns ranked 17th in the league in passing yards. That's with Jacoby Brissett. I know that we've talked a little bit about how Deshaun Watson, it's reasonable to think he could have a fair amount of rust coming into this game. Do you think that it's unreasonable to believe that the version of their passing attack is not going to be what they've seen in previous weeks, though? Is it one of those where the tape could be actually kind of deceiving for them?
Well, I mean, they're not going to change a lot of what they do, because their expectation, Deshaun Watson got to participate in the mini camps and training camp and all that, and was given a copy of the playbook. So their expectation is that he's coming in to run this same offense. So everyone else is going to be doing the same things.
They're going from a Taurus to a Ferrari, though. I don't know if they ran the exact same stuff with Brissett in there.
I think they did. I think one of the reasons they got Brissett is not that he's known for this, but that he's a big enough guy that he can run a few yards if he needs to. More of a Josh Allen than a Deshaun Watson, but, you know, a bigger, stockier guy, and if he needed to break from the pocket and get 4 or 5 yards, he could. So I do think they think that this offense will perform better with Deshaun Watson running it. but I don't think that they want to do anything different. Maybe what they will change up probably is the ratio of run to pass plays, you know, because they were running a lot, and part of the reason their running statistics are so high is they were running a lot to help cover up the fact that Jacoby Brissett isn't Deshaun Watson. Jacoby Brissett is a backup quarterback, and bad quarterbacks are somebody you want to be able to throw out there, and over any length of time, you want them to win you 500 for, you know, half of your games. If you play six games, you want them to go 3-3. If you come back from a 6-week injury and you're 3-3, then the backup did his job, and you should be still within the range that you want to be in. So my bigger issue is I think that this offense will try a little too hard at first. You know, trying to make every play a home run because they want to make Deshaun Watson look good, especially here in Houston. And I wonder if how our defense is going to handle that. Because I think Cleveland's going to come in amped up to a 12, you know, high on emotion, ready to just go. And our defense has to be able to ride that emotional wave those first few possessions of the first quarter or first half and get Cleveland to calm back down to a level they can deal with. Because if they come out swinging and excited and ecstatic and playing out of their minds, and then they go on three scoring drives in a row, and we look up and it's 21-3, and there's 10 minutes left in the second quarter, we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, and one thing we did, the one guy we haven't mentioned yet, Kareem Hunt, he's kind of built, he's like built in a lab to get a quarterback's feet wet in the game. I mean, the way he catches the screen passes, the way he can take those to the house, running out of the slot, little wheel route stuff that he does, the way he tracks the ball in the air down the field for a running back, he's kind of built to have out there for some of those easy pitch and catch throws, those little sideline arrow routes out of the slot to the sideline. Those are all throws that are going to be really short, easier passes for Watson, and Kareem Hunt is excellent in not only snagging those for a running back, but also turning those into tons and tons of yak yards as well. So he's one guy who I think he could potentially have a pretty big game this week if they want to just ease Watson into that playbook.
Yeah, absolutely. It was telling when coming into this season, he flat out asked to be traded, and Cleveland said, no, when Deshaun Watson comes back, you're going to want to be on this team.
We're going to watch you around.
So, yeah. I think that was really telling of what their plans are for him. I think you're right. I think he'll be targeted between handoffs and pass attempts probably in that 10 to 12 times area. Remember they used to call it the Randy ratio? Like, if you threw it five times, two of them have to go to Randy Moss or something like that. I think early on, there is going to be like a kind of a Kareem ratio, because you're right. The hardest guy, so when you're lining up and you're matching up offense defense, the hardest guy to cover is the running back, because you don't know which way he's going to break out of the backfield, first of all. So your linebacker has to be on his toes and has to be watching him through the offensive line and through the traffic as the play develops. And then on top of that, he's got to tackle him in the open field if it's a simple little flat route where it's one-on-one, no one is around for the next 6 yards. Because if he misses that tackle, the linebacker, if they miss that tackle, then Kareem Hunt has nothing but green in front of him for almost a first down, just easy in a lot of formations and plays. So, yeah, he's going to be somebody they're probably going to use and try and get in motion, in mismatches, on the edge, you know, all the way out at the sideline, one-on-one with somebody. And just really kind of create opportunity for him to break one tackle and then be given so much green yardage from it.
It feels like a game where Cleveland is going to want to shorten the game. They always do want to shorten a game by running a lot. It feels like the Texans should let them run that style and play back. I mean, just the most – again, if you're a bad team, you should want there to be as few possessions in a game as possible, right? That means every mistake is more of a problem. And so just let them run the ball, and then it's going to be tough. Cleveland is number 10 in the NFL as far as an offense converting in the red zone. The red zone percentage is at 60%. So that's going to be where they're going to have to try and flip this game is, hey, you know what? We're just going to have a bunch of DBs out there. We're going to dare you to run the ball and beg you to run the ball. We got to stiffen up in the red zone and then hope that some of that rust for Deshaun Watson translates into maybe a pick or two. And this game goes really fast, so an interception means a lot more. But I think that kind of has to be the strategy, is just let them burn you on the ground.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Because they're going to be able to do it anyways.
I was about to say, I'm intrigued by your idea of letting them. Is that what we've been doing this whole time? Just letting them?
It's all the ploy.
We've been playing rope-a-dope for the first two-thirds of the season. Now we're ready.
Now you're ready.
Listen, if you're a bad team, you want to get off the field as fast as possible. The Texans games have been ending earlier and earlier, and it's because they're not using their timeouts in the second half. They're not like running a lot of 2-minute drills where they're spiking the ball and throwing down the field. And it's because we're not in these games anymore. But I don't know. You want them to run for clock reasons, but we're not going to want them to run for game purposes, because they'll be successful runs is the problem. So no, we want him to throw 50 times. I believe Deshaun Watson has a losing record when he throws more than 30 times or something like that, if I remember back correctly.
I just don't think that a loaded box is going to do much to stop the running game. So you might as well just throw a bunch of guys in the secondary.
I don't think 12 men on the field is going to do much to stop the running game. Like, I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Exactly.
To stop it.
So just throw a bunch of guys in the secondary, let them get their yards on the ground, and hope more DBs out there can create a turnover and make stuff more chaotic in the red zone.
So just never adjust to the run. Stay in pass defensive packages, nickels and dimes the whole way down the field.
Absolutely. just try and make sure that every drive they have is like 8 minutes.
There was somebody who played the Baltimore Ravens who they never had less than 7 DBs on the field at a time. And it was simply to match his speed with their speed. And another, like, they were playing them as linebackers, but on the roster they were all DBs. And they were playing their fastest guys on defense just to keep up with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
It makes me think about like the when Carolina used to play Atlanta in the Michael Vick days, and they would just, their game plan would be 5 defensive linemen on the line every play.
Let's do it. I'm in.
Certain quarterbacks, certain teams just get special packages.
I'm in. It's called the shorten the game package is what it's called.
I mean, listen, if you were playing Peyton Manning, he would opt into a run every single time. And he would even tell you, like on TV, he says all the time, like, if I looked up and there were 7 guys in the box or 8 guys in the box, yeah, I'm opting to the run. Because we have the numbers in that situation. So, yeah. I mean, if we go out there and just leave 7, you know, if we throw 7 DBs out there all the time, then they'll be, you know, they'll be more than happy to do it. They'll be more than happy to run over and over again. The problem is, at some point, we're going to want them to stop running.
On the defensive side of the ball, for Cleveland, they are allowing 26 points per game. That's third most in the NFL. Is there a chance that you see some sort of offensive pulse from this team? The Texans, I mean.
Yeah, listen, if there's a game that they're going to come out and be prepared for and come out swinging for, it's got to be this one of the Cowboys. Other than that, there's not another game on the schedule that they should even care about. So, yeah, I hope so. I hope they come out swinging. I hope they come out and try and act like they're going to beat them. I don't think it will look like that, but I hope so.
If there was ever a game to score more than 20 points, this would be the game.
It's this one or the Cowboys. Yeah, absolutely.
They just can't. They can't seem to break around that like 16-point barrier for most of these games.
No, because the way they're scoring is by running down the field, and it takes forever because they're doing it 4 yards at a time. Every third down they're going to get a first down, but okay, it took a minute and 20 seconds to get it. So, one drive a quarter is basically what it works out to. It gets really hard to get to that third touchdown.
And if they go to passing the ball, I mean, the Cleveland Browns are ninth in the league, I believe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th in the league in QB hurries per dropback. So that's not great either, especially considering the two guys that are going to be throwing passes are either Kyle Allen or Davis Mills. The best under pressure.
Is there no one we can call? Is there not like a Rodney Pete or like a is Vinny Testaverde? Did he finally turn his phone off? Are we out of options at quarterback?
Like, can we get Fitzmagic?
I don't know. He looks pretty comfortable on that Amazon set. I was watching the game tonight. By the way, the Patriots are now basically out of the playoffs.
Well, that's what happens when you lose 6 games.
6-6. Also, they put up the playoff ladder. Tampa Bay is leading their division again at 5-6.
Anything's possible. So why would you shut down the Fitzmagic conversation so quickly? Anything's possible.
I don't think he's coming out of retirement for anything less than
what's
like
the number they have to offer him under
25.
The table?
25 million.
Just under the table, just... Okay, come on. We know you can sling it still. Just come back, okay?
Mattress Mack's going to give you a $30 million sponsorship to Gallery Furniture. Come on.
Just come back. It's just a few weeks.
You know what, man?
You just have to play 4 games.
If I was a retired quarterback, right around week 7, any team where their guy has run out the rope, my agent should be calling and like, I'll come out and play 10 games for you. Like, give me 15, 20 million. What's the worst thing that can happen? Right? Like, oh no, they broke my leg and now I'm done for real. All right. I got another 20 million. I'm okay with that. Like, no biggie. I would be taking calls if I was Fitzpatrick, but I not from the Texans.
I mean, just his ability to actually stretch the field would be so helpful.
Chicago, the Jets.
No, the Jets have Mike White. They're set.
Yeah, they're ready to rock and roll now. One game. That's all it takes in New York to have, like, oh, you had one great game. You will forever be worshipped.
He looked good last year, though, too.
They still went and drafted a guy, so he didn't look that good.
He still looked good. He looked better than Fitzmagic's going to look right now. 100%.
Do you think that's true? Fitzpatrick has a record. Like, I don't know. I think if I was, and granted, like, again, it's a really easy job for, you know, Amazon's overpaying him. You know, he's probably making too much money to be doing what he's doing. I don't know that he would.
That's why I'm saying it has to be an under-the-table deal, because they'd have to pay him an obscene amount of money under the table. He signs for, like, the veterans minimum, and then they also, like, 3 years from now we find out it's like, oh, isn't it weird that the Texans bought a book deal with with Ryan Fitzpatrick for $40 million or something like that?
They just arranged for all these weird sponsorships. Todd's Car Wash suddenly is sponsoring Fitzpatrick for $5 million. Dude, I'm telling you right now, if I was an NFL owner, I would be able to bury people in hidden money if I was an NFL owner.
Remember the last two, like, what was it, 2 or 3 years when Dirk had that really good contract, and then it came out that Mark Cuban bought, like, Dirk's documentary that he made for, like, a crazy amount of money. And it's like, oh, that's how you worked around the salary cap.
Yeah, but he's done stuff like that before, too, though. We're like, again, it's...
I'm just saying, the blueprint is out. This is not, like, the first time that done this.
Not at all. Well, in the Brooklyn Nets, it came out because Kyrie Irving 2 years ago was complaining and some text got leaked or whatever. Remember, he was complaining that one of the Big Three's girlfriends, remember, they're all married, one of their girlfriends was, the Nets were paying for a house for them to live in Brooklyn. I guess James Harden isn't married. But it was one of the guys was getting a girlfriend, their home paid for by the Brooklyn Nets. And the league was investigating whether that's an improper benefit. Of course it is. Like, we pay them salary. That's the only benefit they're supposed to be able to get, right? Like, you pay salary and you can give them food and training and all that. Anything else is extra. Remember, the NFL got mad because one of the head coaches told a kicker, if you make this kick, I'll give you a bottle of your favorite wine. And the NFL was like, that could be considered a compensation, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it happens all the time. So just pay Fitzmagic a little extra money, and let's have a quarterback that can actually make some downfield throws. He can hit the sidelines. Let's get somebody.
That's why I think
at least a bevy of NFL throws.
Yeah, that's why I think these NIL deals are crazy. Like, how are we going to find out, like, 3 years from now, that University of Alabama gave like $100 million to small businesses to give to athletes for contracts? You know what I mean? Like, how do we know that these businesses that are sponsoring these players, the money isn't coming from the schools? Because if I was Alabama or anybody, that's exactly what I would do. I would go to every one of my small businesses. I would go to the little town hall groups that they have for businesses.
Chambers?
I literally would walk. Yeah, the Chambers of Commerce. I would walk in and I would say, guys, listen, everyone huddle up. We're about to be the best football team in the country, and here's how. I'm going to write checks to you guys. You're going to take 10% of it and keep it, and then you're going to give the rest to the player, and you're going to sponsor them. And I got to, you know, you're going to middleman for me and work out how much it's going to cost for them to come play for us, and we'll make it work. Like, there would be nothing against the law for the college to use the company as services rendered, and then the company pay the athlete the money.
Well, college has been the worst of it, of the rankings. If you're ranking seedy underbelly for sports, this stuff happens at every level.
We've been covering forever how the NCAA is one of the most corrupt and just feckless organizations ever. But my thing is, like, now that the veil is dropped and NIL deals are real, like, Livy Dunn, I follow her on Instagram. The girl's beautiful. She's the LSU gymnast, and she's making $3 or $4 million a year in, like, clothing and bathing suits and underwear and whatever else are paying her money. My thing is, okay, she's a star. She's a real, genuine star. She's pretty. She's articulate. She's smart with her business decisions. Why isn't LSU funneling like $10 million into her to make her a real brand ambassador for them?
Because they probably don't have to. Because they know that boosters or all these other sources with tons of money come along.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I think it's a smarter business model. I think it's time to be new. Instead of taking money from these old, fat, greasy palms that have ruined college sports, like, they have a chance right now to really shift the paradigm and change who has value and where the money comes from and all of these opportunities. And instead of enriching their community, which they easily could do with these NIL deals, you know, shady or not, But instead, they would rather just have old boys shake hands and slip you $100 bills in envelopes still. And I think it's just if I was the University of Louisiana, I'd go to the Chamber of Commerce, and every business in my community would be getting a 10% cut off of $2 million deals and $3 million deals, and everyone would be making money, and everybody would be happy.
Yeah, they'll just build a new locker room.
Yeah. Boudreaux, who has an oil rig in his backyard and gets $4 million a year from Shell Exxon, he'll just keep writing $2 million checks to LSU because go Tigers. And then they won't ever change. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
And then they'll just never change anything. That's what blows my mind. Like, they could do the whole system could be so much better. And yeah, I know we got on this weird tangent off of paying Ryan Fitzpatrick $40 million on the table, but seriously, I don't understand why teams don't do that more often.
Because college sports is a dark, twisted web, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. That's the reason.
And,
there you go.
And none of it's for the benefit of the student. None of it.
Of course not. Hey, let's make some picks here on this game. But before we do that, Corey, let's hear from our sponsors.
That's the best segue we've ever done in all of this. We've just spent 10 minutes talking about the seedy underbelly of money, and now I'm going to read all of our ads.
Don't you love it?
This, guys, is radio. Ace's Law Firm. It's never a good idea to drink and drive, but what if you had a few beers at the game and you know you're not drunk, but you get pulled over and arrested anyway? You need a law firm that knows how to try DWIs. Someone who won't just plead you out quickly. You need a lawyer who has hundreds of hours of hands-on instruction in a lab learning the sciences used in DWI cases. A lawyer ACS qualified to be designated a lawyer scientist. Because these cases aren't like other kinds of cases. Your positive outcomes may very well depend on who better understands and presents the science at trial. Attorney Brian Aysen is a designated lawyer scientist, and the lawyers at Aysen Law Firm have successfully tried and won many of these cases. Call Aysen Law Firm at 832-209-2297. That's Aysen Law Firm at 832-209-2297 or visit DWILawyerHouston.com. It's time to trade in your mask for face masks, load up the hoppers, and go to war with your friends. Too hot? Too rainy? Too cold? Splat Zone has you covered. Literally. It's Splat Zone Indoor Paintball. Round up the family and get to 11260 Hempstead to check out Splat Zone Indoor Paintball today. 11260 Hempstead, Splat Zone Indoor Paintball. Splat Zone is a great, low-impact, family-friendly experience, and if you use their website to make reservations, you can get 5% off by using the code BATTLERedSplat. Alright, let me also tell you guys about The Adventure Begins, comics, games, and more in The Adventure Begins Stadium. It's at 525 Woodland Square Boulevard, Suite 130 in Conroe, Texas, right there at the Marcel Town Center. These guys are awesome. And Nico and I are actually going to be there this weekend doing a charity event. Every year, we do the Nerd Thug Takeover there. The employees have a Christmas party, and so Nerd Thug Radio and some friends, we volunteer, and every dollar that gets spent in the store while we're there goes to charity. It might be a percentage, so that's why I'm uncertain, but I'm pretty sure it's every dollar spent, and the store usually matches it. So come hang out at The Adventure Begins, comics, games, and more this weekend from 5 to midnight on Saturday, December 3rd. At the 525 Woodland Square Boulevard, Suite 130 in Conroe, Texas. And you can meet Nico and myself as we do some volunteer work. Colton said no. He said no charity work. He's very busy. No, he doesn't live in Houston, so he can't do it.
Rude as hell.
All right, those are the ads, Colton. We've sold out enough. We gave none of that to the Chamber of Commerce either, I guess.
I'm glad
to be
you
honest.
Threw me under the bus at the end there, too. That was a nice way to finish.
We're a team here.
Oh, my gosh. All right. All right, you monster. Let's make some picks. We've got the Texans home dogs by 7 points, and the over-under is 47.5. What do you like? What do you see? What do you say?
I think we wound up being wrong last week when we correctly took the points, but we incorrectly picked the over-under, if I remember right?
We were off by 2 points.
Because the Texans wound up scoring 15 out of nowhere. I kind of want to do the same thing again, and I think it's going to be the same result. Where we're going to get one of them right, and the other one's going to be off by like 1 point. But I think the Texans lose by more than 7. And I think the over, no, I think the under is good, because I don't think there's enough points on the Texans side of it.
Yeah, I can kind of see right the Texans marker, getting right? some garbage time points, because the Cleveland Browns do let up a lot of points.
But 47.5 is the problem. Like, that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points.
And it's a lot of points for us.
You're thinking, what? They're going to run the ball a lot, especially the first quarter. They're going to run the ball a ton because it's Deshaun's first game back.
And we're going to run it a ton because we don't have a quarterback.
Yeah. The game's going to be shorter. What are we thinking? 31-10, which is still the under. Kind of sounds maybe right. 31-13.
28-31, 24, somewhere in that range. Yeah, 24-31, somewhere in there. They're going to go and score at least once a quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right about that, at least. Yeah, I think I'm definitely going with the -7, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a different team than the first, 9 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I think the fight has left the building. I think they're tired, and I think they're frustrated, and I think no amount of coaching right now is going to – listen, it's the Frank Wright thing. Remember how I said people are tired of hearing him talk in that building because it's been 4 years and they get the same results?
Mm.
It's kind of a micro version of that. Lovie Smith is right in what he says. He knows what he's talking about. But they were 1-6-1, and it stopped mattering. And now it's just gotten worse.
Yeah, yeah, it could be pretty rough. I'm gonna take the under as well. I don't know if it's because we got burned last week by it, or if it just feels like this team can't really get more than 13 points.
If they had said like 44, I'd have leaned maybe to the over, but 47.5 is just so many points for this game.
Yeah, it really is. It's going to end up being like 28-7, and just the fourth quarter is like 2 minutes long.
Yeah. They're going to have trouble doing the credits. You know how like sometimes in the first quarter, teams are so fast that they forget to do like, and this is the offensive line.
Yeah.
It's going to be like that, but at the end when they're trying to thank everybody.
Really quickly, before we close out here, one thing I forgot to touch on that I wanted to mention quick. I don't know. Have you seen the CBS coverage maps of what games are aired where?
No.
So this is a thing that popped up a couple of days ago. The coverage map for CBS, who's going to have this game, the Cleveland Browns Texans game, has now been whittled down to basically Houston and Cleveland.
Yeah.
It's getting shown nowhere else.
Oh, I see what you mean. So like CBS has 4 games and they divide up usually like, yeah, large swaths of the country.
Region, they divide yeah. up by what region, or if they think it's going to be a big game. You know, like if it's a
I gotcha.
Matchup, more people are going to see it. Like the Buffalo Bills Vikings game, almost everybody in the country had that game on their TVs, right?
Right.
And for the coverage map for the 4 games that CBS has in that early window, it's like 2 spots in Texas and Cleveland, Ohio, and that's it. It's isolated.
We
like
did it.
2 cities.
So if you live more than an hour away from Houston, you may have to phone a friend to find out how we do.
You might. Honestly, that's how tight it was. It was crazy. The NFL is so embarrassed by this whole situation.
Hey, by the way,
or maybe
we were wrong.
The NFL. Maybe it's just like CBS. Maybe it's just the television.
Yeah, CBS
covering.
They're like, we're tired of people turning stuff off. We were wrong. Denver did have one more primetime game. NFL announced this week they flexed them out of it, though.
Thank God.
Remember we were trying to count and we were like, they don't have any more, right? And we were like, no, they're done. They're done. Turns out they had one more. And NFL was like, hey, Denver, you can play the early, right? And they were like, yes, please.
Houston doesn't have any primetime games either. I don't think they're going to get flexed into anything.
That Colts game still hasn't been scheduled. Like, they might just not even schedule it. Is it possible for us to finish the season with 16 games?
Like, nobody cares. We're good. We've seen enough from these teams.
The only The only way, like, they might be obligated to play the game is if the Colts are somehow in a tie, like, for draft position.
I say just flip a quarter. I think we've seen all we need to see from this team by week 17.
But, like, if they have the same number of losses as somebody or the same number of wins, so they're like, we need to see where they place. But maybe if they can get a unique number by themselves in the ranking.
Then, I think if I'm maybe... going to see a Matt Ryan, Kyle Allen duel, I think I might be sick.
Jeff Saturday versus Lovie Smith.
I think I might be physically ill.
I'm going to miss that week. Sorry, guys.
Just disgusting. All right, so there you have it. We're both taking the points for the Browns, and we're both taking the under. Going to be an interesting game.
Yeah. Hey, I do want to say this. I have to finally admit that I was wrong. One of my predictions for the season was the NFC East, I guess technically. The Philly, Giants, Dallas, Washington division.
Yep.
I really thought two or three of these teams would fall off. As of right now, all four teams are qualified for the playoffs. So all three wildcard spots are the NFC East. So I guess I'll cop to it. I was wrong about that.
That division has been insane.
And they didn't even put up a graphic for anybody in the hunt. I don't know if that means everyone's more than like two losses away from them. I don't know what that means, but
no, the NFC is.
Is it just that wide open?
I think that it's just that wide open, honestly.
Gee, wow. I need to look at that because. On the AFC side, they were like, the Patriots and the Chargers are in the hunt because they're one loss out of the wild card picture. Then when they put up the NFC side, they didn't put anybody in the hunt. Nobody. And I was like, wow.
Well, think of all the four-win teams in the NFC.
Is that what it is? Is that there's literally no one? Because I think the Commanders are, I don't know, 7-3 right now, 7-4. So are they all that good?
It just feels like there's a little less middle ground in the NFC than the AFC.
That's probably exactly what it is. I'm trying to get to the standings right now. It's just as now that I've said that. That's probably exactly what it is, though. Let's.
Yeah, the Commanders are 7-5. Giants are 7-5. Eagles are 10-1, and Dallas is 8-3. That division is popping off.
Yeah, and then so moving over to show me Tom. Okay, here we go. Well, I mean, like, Seattle is 6-5. Why didn't they get a in the hunt graphic? It's also weird that Tampa at 5-6 is the best team in their division. Like, guys,
have you watched any of those NFC South games? It's not super surprising.
Well, Carolina doesn't know what they're doing at quarterback. I was really disappointed in Baker Mayfield. I really thought he was going to – I thought after the shoulder surgery he was going to kind of rehab it, and he's been terrible. But Atlanta with Marcus Mariota has been awful. The Saints are exactly who I thought they were. I laughed at you at the beginning of the year when you were like, the Saints have got this. It's been... The Rams are a surprise, though. 3-8.
The Rams mortgaged their future. They did the Lakers thing. They mortgaged their future for a title. And now they're paying the check.
That's fair. And they were going to because they haven't had a first-round pick in like 3 or 4 years. And they don't have another one for like 2 more years, I think. But yeah,
and
I think it's interesting.
Their roster is just older.
The Cowboys.
Not only have they not had draft picks in a while, but they also are bringing in guys who are kind of ring chasing.
Yeah, they perpetually trade that first round pick for another 26-year-old, and so they don't have that youthful third of their roster that most teams have. You're right about that. But yeah, I mean the Seahawks are technically in the hunt, or are people just like Geno Smith can't get it done?
They don't believe. Nobody's in the
by
hunt
the way,
in the NFC. And
by the way,
Houston,
if you,
Texans aren't in the hunt either, just in case people are wondering.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, if you stack the NFC like by wins, losses, like for the playoff chart, if you're going to the point differential side, both the Giants and Commanders are the first two negatives, -7, -3. Then the Seahawks are +10. Like, they play good football. I don't know why they should have at least been in the hunt. That's a weird graphic they threw up then. All right, that's all I got. I was just looking at it, and I was like, I guess it's time to say I was wrong.
Well, we appreciate you admitting that you were wrong, Corey. Always good to hear. That's what we'll end it right there. That's a nice place to end it. Corey was wrong, and that's another episode of Battle Red Radio. He's Corey DLG, my co-host. I'm Colt Molesky, your host. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure you're subscribing wherever you find this podcast, because we will be hitting you with more content to close out your weekend and to put a wrap on the Browns-Texans games. For now, this is Battle Red Radio.